If you have been around since the beginning of the year, maybe you've picked up on the fact that this year, 2015, here at Koinonia, our theme is, anyone guess? Anybody? Love, right? Love, right? And what does the scripture say? It says that our biggest commandments, our greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. And this is what is the greatest command that we have from God. And so this year, 2015, we are focusing on love. And Pastor Tim just felt like God gave him a vision for this year that we're to pursue as a church. And so we broke out those letters, L-O-V-E. So does anyone know what the L stands for?
Love.
Yeah, we kind of cheated there, I think, because, you know, usually what you have an acrostic and it's, you know, then it's spelled. But love is so important that you just love this way, love that way, love with God, love for others. And so love is our great theme. And then how about the O? Opportunities. This year, 2015, is going to be a year of opportunities. Opportunities for you to grow. Journey groups is an opportunity for you to step in, pursue community, connect with others, pursue God. Opportunities. We're going to have opportunities to minister here in this community, to minister to people in other places in this world, to serve and to give and to be generous. And so O is opportunities. How about V?
Victory,
right? That we are called as Christians to live in victory. And so sometimes that means victory over sin, victory over brokenness in our lives, victory over depression, over sickness, victory. We believe we're going to have victory over cancer that we'll see happen in this place, and that God is going to bring about victory in this community through this church. And then how about E?
Evangelism.
All right. And so some of you might be like, love, opportunities, victory, evangelism. And I don't know if some of you guys feel that with that E there, with evangelism, but that word itself sometimes has a lot of baggage for us, and it freaks us out sometimes, that idea and concept of evangelism, and what does that really mean? A lot of times in our staff, we talk about this idea of Christianese, that sometimes as Christians, we have this weird language that we use that no one else understands, and it seems like evangelism is like Christianese, and what does this really mean? And so just this morning, we're going to spend a few minutes to talk about what does it mean and what does God call us to do with this idea of evangelism. So hopefully you got a bulletin as you came in. And if you want to, follow along there and take some notes. But just kind of defined evangelism there. Evangelism says this: it's proclaiming the gospel with the hope to convince another of its worth. It's just proclaiming the gospel with the hope that someone else will be convinced of its worth. This term evangelism in the New Testament comes from the root word in Greek meaning messenger, or connected to the term message. The term gospel we use a lot. It's another Christianese word. The word gospel comes from the same root in Greek meaning message. So we got the Greek words for message and messenger, gospel and evangelist. So an evangelist is simply a messenger who brings a message of good news, or a message, a gospel message, gospel meaning good news. And these two terms, evangelism and gospel, are used about 150 some times throughout the New Testament, right? This idea that we are to be messengers bringing bringing good news. They weren't simply terms that were confined to the church. They're not words that were simply used in a Christian sense. But in Greek culture, when the Gospels were written, those terms were used pretty broadly. And so they would talk about, you know, evangelism, of someone bringing good news, and it could be of a political victory or of a birth, right? And it's like, I bring the gospel to you. I bring good news to you, right? And it wasn't just about Christianity. And so they were common terms that were used politically in that time. And here the gospel writers, the writers of the New Testament, grab onto these words that we are to be messengers who bring good news, right? And Jesus calls us to be messengers who bring good news. And sometimes I wonder what kind of good news we're bringing, and how much are we actually talking about this good news that we proclaim has changed our lives. Anybody here Seinfeld fans? A little dated here, but I got a little clip from Seinfeld for you guys, just to kind of get us thinking about evangelism for a moment.
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's, beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell. Wayne, they forgot to deliver your paper today. Why don't you just grab that one?
But that belongs to Mr. Potato Guy. That's his.
Come on, I'll get it.
Well, if you want it, you get it.
Sorry, thou shalt not steal.
Oh, but it's okay for me.
Oh, what do you care? You know where you're going.
All right, that is it. I can't live like this.
Oh, no.
Come on.
All right, what did I do?
David, I'm going to hell. The worst place in the world. With devils and those caves and the ragged clothing. And the heat, my God, the heat. What do you think about all that?
It's gonna be rough.
You should be trying to save me.
Don't boss me. This is why you're going to hell.
I am not going to hell. And if you think I'm going to hell, you should care that I'm going to hell, even though I am not.
So maybe not the best concept of the gospel and of good news, right? But here's a guy who claims to follow Christ and this woman who's, you know, like, well, you think I'm going to hell and you don't care, right? It's her problem, not his problem. And I don't think that's God's perspective on the world, right? That it's their problem, not our problem. And when we look throughout the New Testament, whose responsibility is it? Who does God give the responsibility for this idea of spreading this good news about Jesus? It's us, right? It's you and it's I. And so when he's like, it's your problem, not mine, God says, I think a little bit of it, it's our problem, right? It's our responsibility. He gives it to us. And in the Gospels, right, Jesus says, go into all the world, right, and proclaim the good news. He says that. He tells us to do that. And so we need to have the attitude, not like David Putty from Seinfeld, who says, well, that's your problem, you know? You're the one that's, you know, it's our responsibility to do that, and we need to take that very seriously. You know, this idea of the good news, the gospel, it's a very profound thing, right? What is the good news? The good news is what? God loves us. God forgives us, that God sent his son to die on a cross to pay for our failures, that we're all broken, but God wants to step into our lives and bring restoration in the broken places of our lives, right? God gives us gifts that when we use them, we feel alive, right? That God gives his Holy Spirit to give us guidance and direction, that he gives us scripture to help reveal who he is and who we are and how we're to respond. He invites us in to live into community with him. He invites us to pray to him. He hears our voice and he responds to it. That he invites us and pushes us to live in community with one another, engage with each other. I mean, this is all good news, and it doesn't end there, right? Because then it's also at the end of our lives what gets to happen, that we don't, right? That we get to live life everlasting with God. I mean, this is the good news. The good news isn't just about heaven and hell, but this whole life spent pursuing God and living in relationship with him. And it is good news that we are to celebrate, and we're not just to keep it to ourselves. And God gives us this task of telling others and sharing it with others. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it weirds me out that God has given us this responsibility, and I frequently don't know how to do that well. And I think a lot of times in our culture especially, we get hung up on how we're to do that. And there's something about our faith. Our faith is something that is personal, but our faith doesn't have to be something that's private. It's personal, but it doesn't have to be private. And how are we to share the good news? How are we to share this gospel of all that God has done and this full concept of the kingdom of grace that God gives to us? Paul uses a term in Corinthians. In Corinthians 5, 5 verse 20, Paul says this. He says that, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his plea through us. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his plea through us, or his appeal through us. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is simply someone who has been given authority by someone in power, right, to go and be their representative, to represent their interest, to speak for them and on their behalf, right? And so we have ambassadors in this nation. They're sent, they go to other countries, right, to represent our interests, to represent us well. They're given a job to do. And Paul here says that we, you and I, are ambassadors of Christ, and that we are to represent him and his agenda, not our own, but his agenda, and that it says, he says that God is making his appeal through us. Think about that for a minute. God is making his appeal or his plea through us. And when I read that and I think about it, I wonder what kind of an appeal is God making through me? And how am I living in a way that is appealing to others? And is God pleased with the way that I am an appeal to him and his goodness and his grace and his gospel? And it seems like a big weight and a big responsibility, but I also think that sometimes we get so weirded out by this idea that we just want to step back and think, well, it's not my responsibility, it's someone else's. But God, I think, invites us and tells us and even commands us that this idea of proclaiming the good news of who he is and what he has done and the life that he invites us into, it's our responsibility. And so I have two words that just kind of, for me, I was reminded of recently. The two words are show and tell. Did you guys ever do show and tell when you were a kid? Did you go to your classes? Anybody do show and tell? I love show and tell. When it was like my turn to do show and tell, I was so excited because it's like this chance you get to be in front of the class and you get to bring something from home that you think is cool, that you're excited about, and you get to show it and talk about it. And there's something about that that was just always really cool. I remember when I was a kid, Star Wars, right? Star Wars was the thing, and I had this big Millennium Falcon. Like, if this thing, I think, you know, it's one of those things that on eBay today, if you still had it in the box, it'd be worth like hundreds of dollars. But it was this cool, huge Millennium Falcon. I think I remember as a kid, like, show and tell, that is it right there, because I was excited about it. It was awesome. It was so cool. I wanted everyone to see how big it was and how, like, this is mine. Check this out. Let me tell you about how cool the Millennium Falcon is, right? And I bring it to school for show and tell. Just recently, my son, they don't really call it show and tell anymore, I don't think. Like, I think it, you know, depends on your school maybe, but my kid's school, usually, like, they get to be the star student or the special student or something like that. And then, you know, on that week, they get to bring some things. And so my son this week got to take things to school to kind of show and tell. And so he was like, just, I could see the excitement that he had, right? That he had this opportunity to talk about the cool stuff that he wanted to share. And so, you know, he got like a little remote control helicopter for Christmas. And so he wanted to bring that and show and tell about that. And we got, he and I are big soccer fans. And so for Christmas, we got tickets to a U.S. men's national team game against Panama. And so he wanted to take his tickets. But I was like, oh, you're not taking those tickets, because I didn't know what would happen to those tickets. So I was like, I'll make a copy of the tickets. And you can take the copy of the tickets. And then he wanted to take a knife. We'd done some traveling this year. And so he has this big knife. And he's like, oh, I want to take the knife. And, well, the school won't let you take the knife. So, well, let's take a picture of the knife. And you can take a picture of the knife and show everybody and tell about your travels and where you've been. And so, you know, he's all excited that he got to go to school and to show and to tell. And we do it as adults, right? The things that we find meaningful and significant and exciting in our lives, what do we like to do? Show and tell, right? What is the majority of Facebook? Well, it's like half and half. It's either people complaining about stuff, or people showing and telling, like, look how cool my life is, like, look at this cool stuff that I get to do. You know, it's when most people, you know, they post when they're on vacation or away or somewhere, right? Then they got some people that post, like, when they're at the grocery store. But most people like to show and tell the cool stuff. And you know, it continues into adulthood, right? This idea of show and tell. And I just wonder, we get excited about the other stuff of our lives. You know, maybe we get excited about even what our kids do. We want to show and tell. But what about our faith? This thing that we claim as followers of Jesus to be the most important foundational idea and concept that we could ever experience in our lives. This idea that God loves us and he has forgiven us and he has pulled us into this life of restoration and redemption. And we get to live and walk through life with him. Right? This thing that we say is worth more than anything else, right? I claim that the gospel and my relationship with Jesus Christ is worth more than anything I own, right? My house, my car. It's even worth more than any relationship that I have in my life, that this is the greatest thing that I could ever experience. And how often, right, do I show and tell about the significance of this to others? And so what does it look like for us to show and tell our faith? Number one, we got to be excited about it. We got to be excited about who God is and what he has done. We have to have that resolved in our minds. We have to think and meditate upon what God is doing and what he has done and the movement that has happened in our life because of him and his goodness. And then we begin to show it and tell it. So how do we show it and tell it? Well, number one, man, to show it, we just got to be different kinds of people, right? We got to live life a little bit differently. In Matthew 5:16, and this might be a passage that you guys are familiar with, you've heard before, but I'm going to read it from a different translation that just maybe, I think, just kind of points things out a little bit differently. It's called, it's from The Message. And Matthew 5:16 says this, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. Right? God says, I have given you light and I have given you life, and I don't do that so that you hide it away somewhere. You know, you guys know that song, right? Like, hide it under a bushel, right? No, right? If you grew up in the church, you don't hide the light. The light is something to be to be shown to others. And we hide our faith, and we live in a culture that thinks we're supposed to hide those things. Those things aren't for public discourse. But again, our faith is personal, but it's not private. It's personal, but it's not private. Right here, Scripture says it's to be shown, and it's to be a light, and other people are to see it. And how do they see it? Well, number one, how are we acting, and how are we living? Are we showing something of God's transformation in our lives? You know, are we kind? Are we generous? Are we compassionate? Right? How is it that other people see us? Going back to what Paul said about us being ambassadors, God is making his appeal to us. It's hard to make an appeal for good news when you're a jerk. Right? You know, I don't hear good news from people who are jerks very often, right? It clouds the way I hear what they say. Right? Are we kind, compassionate, giving, generous people? And again, not to just pretend to do this, but we're actually allowing God to shape who we are and who we become. Scripture talks about us co-laboring with God in his kingdom, to work alongside with Christ. And I believe that a lot of that has to do with ministry and how we do outward, but it's also what's going on internal. And are we working together with God and the Holy Spirit to bring about real change in our lives so that we are kind and compassionate and giving and generous and patient? All of those things, because if we want to show the good news, we got to start acting like we've experienced the good news. Right? We got to start acting like God's grace has been extended to us and we've experienced life transformation as a result. And the question for all of us is, what kind of life are you showing? What kind of life are you showing? What do other people see when they look at you? Both those at work, those maybe far away, and those that are close in your house. What are you showing them? What kind of life are you exhibiting? And what kind of appeal can God make through you because of the way you behave? I watched something, it was a video, I don't know where I saw it, but it was this little video about a kid in a school. He kind of moved schools, and he'd kind of been bullied and picked on, and he went to a new high school, and he just decided he was going to start to do things differently. And so he decided this kind of silly thing, that he was going to open the door for people. I don't know if anybody saw that video, but he's just going to open the door and hold it open for people. And so he would, you know, when I was in high school, it'd be weird, you know, some kid, like, he just stands there holding the door for all the students. Be like, what the heck is this kid doing? But there was something, he just did this consistently. He smiled, and he just kind of said, hey, good morning, have a great day. And he did it between all of his classes all the time. And they started to, over time, they talked to the administrators about this, and the administrators started to see a difference, even with the whole school had started to change, and this kid was eventually once picked on. Now he was voted the prom king because everyone just saw, the kid was awkward and kind of, he's just like, I'm gonna serve people. I'm gonna show kindness and compassion to people. I'm gonna open the door, and actually brought about this whole change in his school culture because this kid was willing to step out and show kindness to others. I mean, how often do people open doors for you? Does it happen very often? You know, open the door for somebody, be kind, be generous, be nice, be giving, be patient, right? Do something nice for your neighbors. You know, Jesus says that what we're to do, love others, right? Here at Koinonia, we talk about having a passion for God and a compassion for others, right? And are we showing a compassion for others in the world around us, being kind, being generous? So are we showing God's grace and goodness that he's transformed our lives? So number one is show. Everybody say show.
Show.
All right. And secondly is, oh, come on, you guys awake? Tell, all right, tell, right? Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Anybody get weirded out by that? Am I the only one? Not like weirded out, but I mean, just like feel uncomfortable having those conversations. Anybody? Am I alone? Some of you guys feel? It just kind of is one of those things that how do you do that well? How do you enter into a conversation, you know, with someone? And we make a lot of excuses. We talked about excuses, right? We make lots of excuses of not getting into journey groups and avoiding that. But we make a lot of excuses about sharing our faith or talking about our faith with people. And it's not something necessarily it's easy, but it's also something that we make a lot harder, I think, than it needs to be. And when you're showing transformation in your life, when you're showing good things in your life, there's this open door to then talk about it. And the question is, how much have we talked about it? Have you talked about what God has done in your life? Right? And again, part of that is understanding what God has done in your life. Right? Have you talked about how God has changed you and shaped you, the goodness that he's extended to you? Again, you have to resolve that in your own mind, in your own heart, and meditate upon that so then you can talk about it with others. And so, are we sharing? Or do we ever talk to anyone about our faith? Do we ever have an opportunity? And do we ever pursue it with others? You know, and if you're intimidated by this, that's okay. Right? If you kind of feel like I'm not sure what to say, that's okay. What we have to do is we have to be willing just to take a step. One thing that I was, how many of you guys were here last week for baptisms? All baptisms. Bunch of you guys. If you missed last week, you missed out because we heard all kinds of testimonies about what God was doing in people's lives. And I don't, Tim, do you remember how many people were baptized? About 33 people were baptized last weekend, taking this step of saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my Savior. I believe in this full concept of the gospel message. And they started sharing a little bit about what God had done in their lives. They're just like some wonderful testimonies. And I noticed last week more than I have before about the number of testimonies that were about someone else sharing with them. And I just remember a friend shared with me. My nephew shared with me. My brother started, you know, to talk to me about Jesus. And there were numerous testimonies that were about someone else sharing their faith, about someone else telling. And it wasn't, there were a few that, I came to church and just started to experience something, but frequently that would start with someone invited me to church, and then I started hearing about something. And so maybe a first step for you, invite somebody to church. Maybe that's a first step of kind of sharing your faith. And in the workplace, you're like, and I don't know if you know this, but I've been going to church on Sundays, and it just has really impacted my life. And just there's good things that are happening there, and I just experienced something different. I'd love for you to come. And hey, if you come, I'll take you out to lunch afterwards, and we can just hang out and just love to get to know you some more. But hey, would you be willing to, or interested in joining me for church? Now, how many people are going to like punch you in the face for saying that to them? Anybody? I mean, like, what really is the risk that we have in having that conversation? What is the risk on us? It's very little, right? And what's the worst that will probably happen? Thanks for thinking of me, but yeah, I'm just not interested, right? That's probably the worst that will happen. And we get so freaked out that, you know, I don't know why. We get nervous about it. And so maybe your first step is simply to do that. Invite someone to church and to start this conversation, see where it goes. But at the same time, I believe we've talked about L-O, opportunities, that this year there will be opportunities for you to enter into a spiritual conversation with someone. And we want you to step out in that, and even though you might be scared and you might not totally know what to do, but to do so, take that step. There's one thing I will say about show and tell that's not perfect in my little analogy is getting hung up on that word tell, because really we're not called to tell. I think we are called to tell, but we want to do it with wisdom and grace, and that mostly that would happen from not, us just not having a monologue, but us entering into dialogue with people and through relationship and through conversation, right? And so we're not saying go set up, you know, on the street corner in a little box with a megaphone and start telling people about Jesus. If you feel like God's calling you to do that, okay, but that's usually not the wise way to go about doing it. That's not the way we tell, but we tell through showing what God is doing in our lives, being kind and compassionate, generous, being transformed by the reality of the Holy Spirit within us, and then to starting to enter into dialogues about spiritual things with people, getting them maybe a little bit curious about who God is, and having a conversation, and trusting that the Holy Spirit is with us in those moments, right? I mean, there's a promise of that. The Holy Spirit is with us, will guide us and direct us in those moments. And the question is, are we willing to take that step? Because I really do believe that we we'll have opportunities to do that in 2015. And we want to ask God to bring about those opportunities, and we want to seek him and pray about those things, and then pray that God would give us boldness and courage to know how to do that well. We want to be a church that shows and tells of the goodness and grace of God in our lives. 1 Peter 3 says this. It says, worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about the hope you have as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Right? Are we people who show hope in the world around us so that people will ask us about that? And if so, are we ready to have a conversation about that hope? And if so, are we ready to have that conversation with them with gentleness and respect towards others? And so those are key ideas for us as we move forward in this year. So we want to show hope. We want to pursue those conversations. We want to be ready for those moments and seek those opportunities out, be praying for them, be anticipating them. And then we want to have those conversations with gentleness and respect and wisdom and love and grace. And I believe that God is going to make that happen if we pursue it this year. But we have to be ready. We have to be showing, we have to be ready to tell and enter into that conversation, and we got to be seeking it, because God wants to make his appeal through who? Everybody say, through me. All right? God wants to make his appeal through me, through us, through you. Right? That's what Paul says. We're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ, representing him, and God is going to make his appeal through us. What kind of appeal are we being in our community, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods? And are we making a good appeal of the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, one who redeems and restores all that is broken? There's a passage, I referred to this passage before, but it's so good that I'm going to share it once again. It's found in 2 Kings in the Old Testament. It's just a story, I was going to read a portion of it, but it's a story when the Arameans have a siege on the city, over Samaria. And the Arameans come in and they put a siege on the city, so no food can come in, they're trying to conquer the city. And there's these four lepers. So I'm going to read it, it's in 2 Kings 7, starting verse 3. It says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die, right? No food was coming. There was no food to be eaten. So they say, why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, then we will die. Right? But at least we have this glimmer of hope. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men with leprosy reached the edge of the camp. They entered one of the tents and ate and drank. They took silver, gold, and clothes, and they hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things and hid them as well. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves." This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. And so they go to the city, they go to the palace, and they tell of this good news. Jesus has given us good news, and are we keeping it to ourselves? Because God's plan for the redemption of this world is through Jesus on the cross, but he makes that appeal through us as we show and tell of his goodness and grace. Let's not keep the good news to ourselves. Let's be a church who goes out and we tell others and we enter those conversations, and it might be uncomfortable. We might not know what to say, but know that God is with us in those moments, and he will lead and he will guide and he will direct. If you notice on the bottom of that bulletin, there's a blank space. And what I want to do is just challenge you right now to put someone's name there. This isn't something for your neighbor. It's not something we're going to collect. You're not turning this in. This is for your own, just for you. This is between you and God. And I just want to pray for a moment. And we want 2015 to be a year where every single one of us who follows Christ, who has claimed Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, that we have an opportunity to enter into that conversation, that we have an opportunity, and maybe you've never done that before. That's okay. There's probably a bunch of us here who have never done that before. Together as a church, we want to trust that God is going to bring those opportunities for us to not only show, we always have the opportunity to show, but also to tell and to enter into that conversation. And so I'm just going to pray for you, and I just want you to just be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit right now and trust that there's someone in your life that God has placed there, that God, you've built a relationship with, and they don't know who Jesus is, or maybe they're just not sure what that means, and you're nervous, you don't know how to do that. But I just want to pray that whatever name that is, that you just write that down right now, just kind of as a declaration of, God, I'm willing. I don't know how to do it, and I'm nervous, and I trust in the midst of that, that you are with me and that you will guide me and you will give me that opportunity. And hey, 2015, we still have 11 months, right? A little over 11 months for this to take place. But we trust that God wants to do that. God wants to make his appeal through you. And who does he want to make that appeal to? And so let me just pray for you and just kind of open your heart and your mind to what name. I mean, and some of you, just be open, because God might pop a name into your head that you haven't thought about, right? It might not be obvious to you, but let's just seek him for a moment. Father, we come before you, and because of your goodness and grace that we've experienced your salvation, there's good news. Good news of great joy that is for everyone. It's that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we thank you that we have experienced that. That for those of us who are following after you, that we've experienced that. And as those four lepers say, that this is a day of good news. Let's not keep it to ourselves. And that you want to make your appeal through us to the world around us. And so I just pray for each one of us here today. And this is, you know, if you're not yet a follower of Christ, I mean, this is something for you hopefully in the future. But though, if you're a follower of Christ, I just pray, God, that you would lead each one of us just to think of a name, to think of a person. And again, we might not know what to say. We might feel nervous about that. But Lord, we trust in you, that you are bigger than our failures. You are bigger than our thoughts. You are bigger than our knowledge. And we just want to rest and rely on you and your goodness and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide us into these places of opportunity. And I just pray that each one of us would think of a name right now. And that it wouldn't just be a name of someone that we think of, but it would be a name that is brought by your Holy Spirit, that you want to see us begin to have these conversations with, that we would begin to show and tell of your goodness and grace and mercy and love. And I just pray for that right now. And just, church, I just invite you just to take a minute. Just take a moment, and then I'll kind of close this in prayer here in a minute. But just to be open, and then write down a name. Thank you. Father, we just come before you right now, and we just want to repent. We just want to repent before you. We've been talking about love, and what is the greatest love that we can express? Is I believe that to share this with others, and just to view people as you do, and those who are close to you that you love, and those who are far from you that you love, and that you want to see people restored and redeemed and into relationship with you. And so we just come before you, and I just pray that you would forgive us for not taking this as seriously as we should, for thinking it's someone else's responsibility, for doing things in our lives or not doing things in our lives that prevent you from making your appeal through us. And we just want to repent, Lord. Repent before you and ask you to forgive us. And I just pray that this year, 2015, in this place, would be a year where the gospel of hope, the gospel of salvation in the name of Jesus would be proclaimed in this place. And not in this place as a building, but in this place as a group of people who go out in this community, and that we have opportunities and we step into those opportunities to talk about you with a family member or a coworker or a neighbor or a friend. Lord, everyone is worthy of your grace and your salvation and your forgiveness. And so I just pray and we speak that we want to be used by you. We want to be bold. We want to be more courageous, Lord. And so I just pray for the names that were written down right now, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you'd be working in ways that we can't, that you would be bringing about and stirring in people's hearts and their minds this idea of who you are. And then you would bring about opportunities for us to step into those places, that we would be representatives and ambassadors of you in those moments, and be able to have a conversation with others. We just pray that you would do that, that you would work, and that you would lead and guide us. By your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we pray.